Hello, this is Michael welcoming you to Barkham Church's remote service today. Whether you're a regular with us or not, you're very welcome and we are glad that you are joining us. This is probably going to be the last of our pre-recorded services, as from next week we're planning to record the whole of the live morning services and make them available in our media library. So you should be able to download or play them from our website in the same way. Just bear in mind that they won't be available in the morning, but they should be available from early afternoon. I'm going to be leading us through this service. It'll be helpful if you can see a service sheet, either printed or on screen, especially for the parts where I'll invite you to join in. We're continuing our series in chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew's Gospel, and David Horrocks will be preaching. But before we get going formally, I've got a couple of children's birthdays to announce. Finley Jarvis is going to be 6 on Tuesday and Toby Kilvington 11 on Friday. So congratulations to Finley and Toby. And if you're listening in, we hope you have a very special day. Good choice to have your birthday in half term. Well, we're now going to say together the psalm printed on your service sheet. Psalm 16 is prayer, it's praise, and it's a declaration of great confidence and joy in the Lord, not least because of that amazing statement in verse 10, "Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead." As we shall see later, death is an enemy in God's world, but one that in the end will be crushed. So do join with me as we say these verses together. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods, or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Well, we can't save ourselves from the grave and the realm of the dead, but wonderfully, that is exactly what the Lord God does for us. Let's rejoice in that truth as we listen to our first song. Do feel free to stand and join in.
Save themselves, their own soul could heal. Our shame was deeper than the sea, your grace is deeper still. You, oh Lord, could save themselves, their own soul. Let us out of death. To you alone belongs the but still, you alone can rescue, you alone can save, you alone can sift us from the grave. You came down to find us, led us out of death. To you alone belongs the highest praise. To you alone belongs the highest praise. To you alone belongs the highest praise. Lift up, arise, lift up, arise, you're the giver of life. Lift up, arise, lift up, arise, you're the giver of life. We lift up, arise, lift up, arise, you're the giver of life. We lift up, arise, lift up, arise, you're the giver of life. You alone can rescue, you alone can save, you alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, led us out of death. To you alone belongs the highest praise. To you alone belongs the highest praise. To you alone belongs the highest praise.
The Lord rescues us from sin and death, not so that we just go back to where we were and try again, but so that we might live in a right relationship with Him. Yet we continue to do wrong and spoil that relationship. But in His great kindness, God has provided a way to deal with our sinful nature by admitting our sin to Him, showing Him how sorry we are, and asking Him to forgive us. Listen to how Isaiah 55 verse 7 encourages us to do that. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on them, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. Let's now pray this prayer of confession together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you so willingly and completely forgive us when we turn to you. Having received your pardon, please help us to forsake our wicked ways and unrighteous thoughts. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, you'll see that our creed today is in question and answer form. Do join in passionately in the responses in bold, if this is what you passionately believe. Do you believe in God? We believe in God the Father, who made us and all the world. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth to be our Saviour. He died for our sins on the cross, rose again from the dead, ascended to the Father in heaven, and will come again in His glory as the judge of all people. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, whom God gives to all who trust in Christ. He makes us more like Jesus, guides and strengthens us in our daily life, and helps us to serve God in the family of the Church. Well, it's time for our prayers now. I'm going to lead us in prayer. I'm going to begin by echoing the start of Habakkuk's prayer in chapter 3 of his book. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Father, as we look at the state of our planet with all the pollution and loss of wildlife, and as we see all the divisions between nations and within nations, and the massive problems of many kinds that our own and other nations face, we often feel so helpless. Yet we know that we have this wonderful privilege of access into your presence through the precious blood of Jesus. That you, the one who does awesome deeds, delight to hear our prayers and weave them into your plans to bring about your good purposes. As we see more and more how broken our world is, we recognize how much we need your mercy. Thank you that you are a God of such tender compassion and mercy. Thank you that Jesus has shown us what such compassion and mercy looks like, and that he is always willing to help those who cry out to him. So, Lord, we pray again for your mercy on ourselves, our nation, and our world, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we pray for our mission partner, Alex Richardson, and his family, and the new church plant in Akademgorodok in Novosibirsk. We pray particularly for the church, as Alex's co-pastor Dima has been showing symptoms of COVID-19. Please protect Dima and his family and restore him to health quickly. We pray that if the virus has taken root, that it will not spread through the church, but that leaders will put in place effective measures to contain it. But Lord, your word surely warns us that in every church there is a greater threat from sin and false teaching taking root than from any virus. So we pray for this Akademgorodok church, that you will protect it through faithful Bible teaching and through the work of the Holy Spirit, convicting people of the truth of your word and equipping them to live as disciples of Jesus as they put their trust and hope in him. Thank you for Alex's teaching gifts. Please use him to build your church and to lead his own family in all wisdom and godliness. Please give Nadia and their children, Andre and Dennis, a real love for Jesus, a love for your word, and a love for your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you that we have been able to get back to meeting together on a Sunday and are able to continue to do so. Thank you for the joy that has brought us as we have gathered in your presence to worship you and hear your word. Thank you that families with children of all ages have been able to be part of that. Please help us now as we plan to restart Sunday Club next week. Thank you for leaders willing to take this on. Thank you for the team who've been thinking through the practicalities and precautions to be taken to keep everyone safe. We pray for unity in putting these in place. We pray for wisdom and creativity in putting together a teaching program that will bring spiritual blessing to our Sunday Club children. We pray for a good start next Sunday, and where there are any lessons to be learnt for subsequent weeks, that they will be able to be implemented smoothly and effectively. We pray too for members of our church who are feeling lonely or worn down by the pandemic, or anxious about work and finances, or just struggling with life at this time. Please help them to find real comfort and strength in your word, to know your fatherly care, and to learn to wait on you to renew them. Please help us all in looking out for one another and being open both to give and to receive care from one another. Help us to guard and treasure our unity in Christ, for we ask this and all our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. It's time now for our Bible reading. Lizzie is going to read that before David comes to preach.
Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "I only need to touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region.
Let's pray as we look at this passage now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for what we've seen of him in these recent weeks, his wonderful kindness, his extraordinary authority. And we pray that by your Spirit now, you'd help us as we look at him again. And we ask that you would help us to trust him as we should. We pray in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Trouble with the Bible is it just doesn't seem very relevant sometimes. Have you ever heard that kind of comment? Thought it maybe as if, you know, over here on this side, we've got the real life that we're in the middle of living right now. And over on that side is what God says to us in the Bible. And there isn't often an obvious link between the two. So we read a bit of the Bible, we hear it preached at church perhaps, and at best sometimes we come away just thinking, that's interesting, I didn't know that before, but there's no obvious link to what I'm facing that day. Well, there are all kinds of problems with that way of thinking, actually, aren't there? When God, our Maker, speaks, when Jesus, our Saviour, has something to say, of course, it is relevant. We know it matters, even if maybe it does take a little while to work out how. But it is really not hard to see how today's passage is very relevant indeed. As Jesus, who we've seen, shows such authority over all kinds of things, sickness, people, storms, evil, authority, do you remember, even to forgive sins? Now, it's like he goes one further and shows he has authority even over death itself. And that is relevant, isn't it? Especially right now. We just don't handle death very well in our part of the world today, do we? On the whole, many people have observed that. If the Victorians, as someone said, spent all their time talking and thinking about death, but never sex, we've turned that round. Sex is everywhere. Death is so hidden away. I just don't want to be confronted by my own mortality, Sarah Cox, the DJ, said in an interview this week. And to a large extent, she speaks for us all, doesn't she? Deep down, I guess, we all know death is coming sometime, but we'd rather pretend that it's not. And then along comes COVID, this new thing that might get us, with daily death statistics on the news and frightening possible projections for the future. And in so many ways, we completely fall apart, don't we? Of course, COVID changes things. Of course, we don't carry on living just like we did 12 months ago, as if nothing's happening. But what we're seeing around us is remarkable, as in so many ways, our society seems to be grinding to a complete halt out of fear of death, as we seem ready to give up almost anything to try to reduce the possibility that death might come our way a little bit sooner than we thought. Just think, wouldn't it be great to know someone who sees death and doesn't run from it, but heads towards it. And when he gets there, is not defeated by it, but shows he has complete power over it. Wouldn't you be interested in meeting someone like that? Especially right now? Well, look at Jesus in our passage today. Two things we'll focus on for the next few minutes. First, Jesus, as we see him here. And then second, death, as we see how it starts to look a little bit different in the light of him. So first, Jesus, watch him in these verses, verse 18. While he was saying this, so still in the middle of explaining why his disciples didn't fast, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died. Doesn't your heart go out to that man? Just the hardest thing of all," my military counterpart always used to say in my MOD days, when sometimes we'd find ourselves called into the office at odd times to make the necessary arrangements that had to be made after a soldier had been killed in Iraq. And as we thought of those parents who we knew were about to get a knock on the door and hear the worst news they could ever hear. Hardest thing of all to lose your own child. "But Jesus, come and put your hand on her and she'll live," the man goes on. Hey? I mean, we have seen some remarkable faith in Jesus in the last couple of chapters, haven't we? But this is quite extraordinary. "Please come, Jesus. I know you can fix even this too." Incidentally, if you're thinking, hang on, in Mark's version of this story, isn't the girl still alive when her dad gets to Jesus? It's only on the way back that he gets the news she's died. You're right. It's just that Matthew, as we've seen a few times in these chapters, he's pretty savage with his red pen. Really, he cuts these stories right down so the main point stands out even more clearly. The main point Matthew wants to make: Jesus' authority over death, that is the focus here. And so, very in your face, that is how the story begins as well. Verse 19, Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Isn't that lovely? When most people run from trouble out of fear, or they stay away out of a sense of awkwardness, "I just wouldn't know what to say," Jesus does precisely the opposite. Straight there he goes. It's quite an eventful journey we read. It includes this wonderful healing of this poor lady who's been suffering for so many years with something that in those times would have made her ritually unclean, and anyone who touched her unclean too. It's no wonder she's so secretive about the way she comes to Jesus, so subtly tries to touch the edge of his cloak in confidence that she'll be healed. Jesus, though, he knows exactly what's going on. He's not threatened by her uncleanness at all. There's no, "Ugh, get away," like she would normally have had in a moment like that. Instead, "Take heart, daughter," he said, such kind words. "Your faith has healed you." And at that very moment, she was healed, we're told. And then finally, they get to their sad destination. Verse 23. "And Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes." Every culture has its death rituals, and that was one of theirs. We tend to fall silent in the face of death in our part of the world today, but they got noisier. Even the poorest families were expected to get in a couple of flute players and a woman to lead the wailing. "Go away," Jesus said, verse 24, abrupt, almost offensive. "But there's no place for mourning here," given what he was just about to do. "She's not dead, but asleep," he goes on. And now they laugh. Don't be ridiculous, Jesus. They knew death when they saw it, probably better than we do, actually, given how we try to push it off stage. Verse 25, after the crowd had been put outside, he went in and, look at it, just as easily as some parents in our church family will have woken children up in the mornings this week. In fact, more easily, probably, given it's been the last week before half term and they're all so tired. Jesus takes this girl's hand and she gets up. He gently raises her, not from sleep, but from death. All told so simply, notice, it's hard to imagine a less fussy way of someone being, of describing someone being raised from the dead, isn't it? As if to say, of course Jesus did this. course he could. Matthew's final comment, verse 26, news of this spread through all that region. I bet it did, don't you? Even if Jesus wasn't being a showman, if he did throw the crowd out before he raised her back to life, of course the news spread like wildfire. It's an extraordinary thing in a world under the fear of death to hear there's someone who can do this. After all, isn't this the news that deep down most people long to hear? Most want to hear that there is someone who can save, even from death. So there's Jesus, look at him. Matthew is saying, Jesus who doesn't just run from death like the rest of us, but walks towards it. And not just towards it, we'll see as we read on in Matthew's account, but in the end, through it. The cross right down into and through death itself as he absorbed in himself the full curse of death that our sins, the way we've treated God, deserve. But wasn't held there helpless in the hands of death, but smashed on through into the full glory of life beyond, the life that we were made for too. This power over death we see here in Matthew 9, just a glimpse of the power over death that is still his today. As Jesus himself puts it after his resurrection in Revelation chapter 1, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. No one goes there without his say-so. And he can get us out too. So, that's Jesus. And now just as we finish, last few moments, another glance at death. How does death look different in the light of what we see Jesus doing here? It is still a horrible thing, isn't it? As so many of us know from bitter personal experience, death is still such an enemy in God's world. It came in, the Bible tells us, as a result of sin. It's not how things were created to be. The reason it feels agonizingly unnatural to be separated from one another like that is because it is unnatural. The last enemy, the Bible calls it. But we see a defeated enemy too, something else over which Jesus has complete authority and power. This thing that seems so final from our point of view, it really is something from which Jesus can raise us as easily as a parent can wake a child from sleep. And if we're trusting him, something from which he says he will one day raise us, just as surely as we each rose from sleep this morning, some of us a bit more obviously than others maybe, especially on this day when we've lost that precious hour's sleep because the clocks have changed, but here we are. And there will one day be too, just as surely, raised from death by Jesus too. You see, where does our security come from in the face of death, in the face of COVID? It doesn't come from our age, how young, relatively young we might be. It doesn't come from the state of our health or how long our parents or grandparents lived, how healthy they were. It doesn't come from statistics about the likelihood of someone like us surviving something we think might be coming our way. It doesn't even lie in what a doctor says seems likely to happen to them. If we're with Jesus, our security rests on something far more certain. He's the one who walked towards death, unafraid, and then on into it and right through it, and shows, not just in the way he raises this girl here, but in his own resurrection, that he has complete power and authority over death itself, even death. And that changes how we see it, doesn't it? It's one of the marks of the church through history, a certain fearlessness. In the face of death, think of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 1, "For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain." He says, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." Or think of John Bradford, burned at the stake in London for his faith, getting on for 500 years ago, turning to the nervous younger Christian that he was executed with. "Be of good comfort, brother," he said, "for we shall have a merry supper with the Lord this night." I think of so many Christian funerals today, and that strangely powerful combination of such grief at the pain of loss and such confidence and joy about where that loved one is now. Knowing death is not the end, but just something from which this same Lord Jesus will raise us to life on the other side. The same confidence, actually, that in pandemics gone by, far worse ones than COVID, meant that rather than fleeing to try to avoid the sickness or shutting themselves down until it passed by, Christians were able to stay and get out and love and serve and care for others in ways that meant many others ended up turning to Jesus too. Knowing that whether they lived or died, it would be okay in the end. Because whatever happened in the end, they would be woken up by him. So, Jesus and death. Look, Matthew's saying. Look at him. Go on. Even if you think you know him already, look again at what Jesus did. At what he can do. As you see him gently raising this girl, know for certain, if you are his, the day is coming when he will gently raise you too. And see how that begins to change things. Not so we become careless or disrespectful or impatient with others who may be more anxious, but see how this frees us up a bit to live and love and smile and serve and sing. In ways that, who knows, might well stand out quite a bit as we head further into this second wave. And might even prompt the odd question, what do you know that makes such a difference? Not what we'll say, but who. Have you got a moment for me to tell you something about him? Let's pray. We praise you again for the Lord Jesus, for what he's like. Not one who runs from trouble, stays safely out of its way, but walks towards it and walks even towards death. Does so unafraid. And as we know, as we read on, walks right through death itself. As he takes in himself all the curse of death our sins deserve. And rose victorious on the other side, smashing through into resurrection life beyond. And we thank you that he has power, total power over death. And for the way we see just a glimpse of that in this lovely story here. And we pray that we would have confidence that as we trust him, he will one day raise us too. Would that free us from the fear of death? Help us to live wisely, but fearlessly too, and joyfully. And would that mark us out so that we have the opportunity to point others to him? We pray that others would come to know this Lord Jesus too. We ask in his name. Amen.
Well, Jesus didn't just raise a dead girl. He himself conquered death as God the Father gloriously raised him. Let's be full of wonder and praise as we sing or just listen in to our closing song. Thanks for being with us today. I trust that you've seen more of Jesus through our meeting and will love him more and more. Do look out for our live recording available next Sunday afternoon so that you can join us again then. But let's finish with some words from Revelation 1, originally written to some of the first churches in Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen.